God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water. So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it, and it was so. God called the vault sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. This be the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Amanda. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. The word that tells us about who you are and what you did in the beginning. And thank you that stretching that forward into our presence, into our present day, you do new things, start renewed works in our lives. Thank you for this day that we can celebrate the gift of Neil affirming, reaffirming his faith. And may we sense deeply that renewing work of your Spirit in our lives this morning as we look at your word. In Jesus' name, amen. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. I had a conversation this past week, and I happened to share this very scripture, just these first two verses out of Genesis 1. A friend asked me what I was speaking on, and I just shared it, and he just started to weep. And I thought, well, Lord, that's the first time that's ever happened, in the beginning, and someone starts to weep. And then he began to tell me why. He said, George, he said, my life is like what those verses describe, was in the beginning. My friend is from the Middle East. He came to the United States 15 years ago. He's a U.S. citizen, came to Canada about 4 or 5 years ago to work here. He said, I don't understand what's going on, but my family life is empty. It's chaotic. He has two sons. They're non-resident U.S. citizens. They wanted to go back to the States to do their post-secondary education, but they're non-resident. And all those generous financial packages that would make the exorbitant cost of post-secondary education in the U.S. possible, not available to them. They're non-residents. And guess what they are in Canada? They're international students, and so they pay 3 times, 4 times. And they're saying to their dad, Dad, we're homeless. We want to go to school, but we're homeless. We're international here. We're non-resident there. And he wept. I think back over my own life, and I've had over the years feelings of emptiness, of life feeling messy and chaotic, of thinking like it was darkness over the surface of my life, whether it be things in the family, things going on in the ministry, in health situations in my family, in finances. I live with some of that, actually. Today, and the responsibilities I carry in my work beyond Knox as part of the Presbytery of Hamilton, I'm convener of what's called the Business Committee of the Presbytery. We're likely going to close one of our congregations in this presbytery in June. It's a congregation I've had relationship with for over 30 years. I've known the pastors. I know the people. I felt like weeping with some of them who were at the last presbytery meeting. They've given of themselves, some of them for over 50 and 60 years. And they're looking at it closing. You know, I think every one of us, we have stories at certain times of our lives. Our lives just feel marked, really, stained almost by the scars, the wounds of the emptiness and the hopelessness and the disorder that's in our lives. So Neil, I got a reality check for you. If you thought you were joining a perfect family, you're not. You're joining the chaos in this family. Far from it. We're a messy family. I want to read you, it's a little bit lengthy, I know, but I'm going to read it nonetheless because I just was so deeply moved by this. It comes from Sarah McLeod. She, from Truro, Nova Scotia, in a bit of a way, she's a relation of George Bulmer, but she's an obstetrical nurse, 25 years old, with a passion for maternal health issues in the developing world. She arrived in Uganda in the middle of March with Save the Mother. She lives in Mukono at the Uganda Christian University campus, and she works at the Mukono Health Center. 3 weeks after arriving in Mukono, she writes this: "We lost a little baby boy yesterday. I think he had already passed away by the time the nursing students brought him to us. He was born the previous night, but for some unknown reason, he had stopped breathing. They laid him on the only available space by our sink on top of the charts. I grabbed the AMU bag and took out my stethoscope, hoping I could hear some sign of life. The students looked at my stethoscope as if it were magic. They looked at me as if I could somehow will this baby back to life. God knew how badly I wanted him to suddenly turn pink and gasp for air. He was gone. I wanted a code team to come to the rescue. I didn't want to be the naive nurse with 2 years of obstetrical nursing experience having to pronounce him because I was holding the stethoscope. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a pediatrician. I'm not a NICU nurse. Nothing prepares you for the way their little chest will rise as you pump breaths of air into them. Nothing prepares you for how still their little bodies will lay when you admit that no amount of ventilation will make them open their eyes. I took out his IV and laid him on the sheet my colleague had prepared. I didn't trust my judgment. In my head, I knew he was gone, but my heart was sick. I wanted to shout, 'Don't cover his face. What if there's still hope?' I wanted to, but I didn't. Instead, I carried him to our back room and laid the little bundle of blankets in the same space where we wash equipment and put the garbage. One of the students met me in the back room. 'The baby?' she inquired, her eyes still hopeful. 'He passed away,' I told her. 'Sorry,' she whispered. 'Me too. If only she knew how sorry.' That same shift, as we continued to work, I had the privilege of delivering a healthy baby into the world. I knew it was going to be a boy before I checked. It was as if God was reminding me he was still present. He hadn't left. A loss and then a life. This cycle of living and dying we are all confronted with. Even as my heart felt broken, I knew there was one who was still holding it together. If anything, this experience is making me more resilient. Tears won't bring back the babies this country is losing. Tears won't stop us from burying mothers too soon. If tears brought back these babies, God knows these Uganda mamas have cried enough. I'm angry. I'm angry because reading the statistics, I knew this was inevitable. And sometimes the helplessness of that reality makes it hard to breathe. I knew coming here it was likely I would encounter a loss, and I also know this probably won't be the last time." And then she ends by saying, "So pray with me. As hell seems close, let's pray his presence feels closer." In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You know, at one time in my life, I had a picture of God as the creator doing what I would call a paint-by-numbers thing. You know, like day one, okay, get out your paint for that. You know, on day one, light, darkness, day, night. Day two, you know, paint another number. Day three, paint another number. Day four, and so on it goes. You know, actually, it's the complete opposite. It's not paint by the numbers. Genesis 1 verse 2 tells us that God hovers over the water, over the chaos, over the emptiness, over the darkness of the deep. What God is doing, hovering over it, is bringing order to it. Not by fitting the pieces of the puzzle together. It's a far more hugely creative act, hovering over the chaos and the emptiness and the formlessness. God is like stirring. You know, think of creation like God in a blender. He's moving, he's shaping, he's forming, he's crafting, he's molding. He forms day and night and light and darkness. God's Spirit goes right into the very center of that chaos and creatively brings forth giraffes and gorillas. You know, creates the birds and the bees, forms the flowers and the meadows, creates Adam, a man and a woman. It's not paint by the numbers. It's God like being an artist, the potter and spinning and shaping and crafting and creating beauty and forming wonder out of the chaos, out of the disarray of the formlessness and the emptiness. And that's not the only time you see God at work like this. There's a multitude of examples stretched throughout the Old Testament and into the New Testament where this same kind of image and picture of God is there, God hovering over, God overshadowing, God covering. Time's short. Let me take you, time's really short. Let me take you into the New Testament, but just an example there really quickly from Luke 1:35. Mary was a 13-year-old likely. Now think of this, a 13-year-old, 14-year-old, and she gives birth. She gave birth to the Son of God. She gave birth to a baby who created those giraffes and gorillas. I mean, let me ask you, what were you up to when you were 13? You weren't giving birth to the Son of God, no. But she was. In all of what might have been called the mess of her situation, God's working something glorious. I don't know, but it's in me to. It doesn't seem right, but it's in me to call the mess and the chaos and the emptiness and the hopelessness that confronts us too often in life and call it the Jesus mess. Because God is right in the center of it. That's where Jesus is. In all of that chaos and confusion and all of the fear and all of the anxiety and worry and all of the uncertainty and the emptiness, who do you find there? You find Jesus. That's where Jesus is. It's God at work in the chaos. Bibles turn to Psalm 91. We read there, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow, the covering of the Almighty." God will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. You know, Sarah McLeod's blog is called Following One. And here's what she writes in the intro to her blog. I quote, "Here's the truth. There's one worth following. He's worth the risks and the pain and the joy that's coming. And he's in the business of filling and sending and using. Jesus in the mess, Jesus in the chaos, is in the business of filling and sending and using. God hovers over you, and like an artist, the Spirit of God is at work in the mess, whatever the mess, whatever name you give to it, He's at work creating heaven's masterpiece. You know, we learned, those of us in the Stewards by Design, that we were away, that God's in the hope business. That's what I want to call it. And God's committed to work in the chaos of your life, however, again, you name it, to fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you, right in the midst of it, may overflow with hope, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Praise team, come forward. I want to invite you, as they're coming forward, to join me in prayer. Thank you, Lord God, that you are our refuge and our strength. You're an ever-present help in trouble, and therefore we will not fear. In the midst of it all, with your promises, promises of hope, promises that are sure, we will not fear. You're an ever-present help. Right in the midst of all the trouble. We don't thank you for the messes, but we thank you for your presence with us. Oh, how we thank you for your presence with us in the mess, stirring, crafting, shaping, forming something wonderfully new. For our good and for your glory, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before we sing, there's been a couple that have come. We got several. I want them to stand, and I just want to introduce them to you. You may know.